ಲೋಕಾನ್ ಅನುಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ. Ladies, please. Yat, because, yuyam, you, pituhu, of your father, adesham, the order, agrahishta, accepted, muda anvita, in great happiness, atho, therefore, vaha, your, ushati, attractive, kirtihi, glories, lokan anu, throughout the universe, bhavishyati, will become possible. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the order of your father and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Purport. Since every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has small independence. Sometimes unintelligent men ask why one is put into a miserable condition, even though everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of his minute independence, the living entity can obey or disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord. If he obeys the Supreme Lord's orders, he becomes happy. If he does not, he becomes unhappy. Therefore, the living entity creates his own happiness or unhappiness. The Supreme Lord does not enforce these on anyone. The Supreme Lord praised the Prachetas because they all faithfully obeyed the orders of their father. The Lord therefore blessed the sons of King Prachinabarhishat because they obeyed their father's orders. Om Ajnanata Mirandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To two very important words here. One is adesham agrahista, means very, actually is a phrase, adesham agrahita mudanvita, very happily, lovingly accepting the orders. And the consequence of that is kirtir lokan anubhavishyate, that a person becomes very glorious simply on this principle. This is Lord Vishnu speaking to the Prachetas, and he is very happy. The set of verses we've been discussing, first Krishna said, the Lord said, I'm very happy that all of you sons of King Prachina Barhishat have cooperated with each other very nicely. This is very pleasing to me. And then some words, and again today, may you become, or you will become, glorious throughout the universe simply because of this one principle. So chastity, or faithfully accepting and following the orders of superior, is a principle that even the Supreme Lord recognizes, encourages, and benedicts or gifts with glory throughout the universe. So in the morning prayer to Srila Prabhupada, we say, Eve Yash Ghushuk Tribhuvana, that your glories are sung in all the three worlds is because of Prabhupada's immense chastity to the order of his spiritual master. That despite whatever difficulties Srila Prabhupada had in his life, which there are many, Prabhupada did not budge an inch from faithfully carrying out the orders given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. In fact, all of life's challenges, as they were increasing for Prabhupada, his determination only increased further to somehow or the other carry out those orders. So throughout Bhagavatam, wherever that principle is practiced and executed, there is glory for that person. So this, as practitioners of devotional service, this becomes a very, very important principle to faithfully carry out the orders of, here in this case, the father of the Prachetas, King Prachina Barhishat, in a more general sense, of our superiors. Even Krishna indicates that the austerity of body is, one of the austerities of the body is to follow the orders of superiors, such as spiritual master, parents, saintly persons, etc. Of course, we're not, Krishna is not advocating blind following, even if the order is not proper, or it's not in the realm of Krishna consciousness. That order we don't follow. There are examples in Shastras where subordinates have not followed the orders of their superiors. Bali Maharaj did not follow the order of his guru, Shukracharya. Bharata did not follow the orders of his mother, Kaikeyi, because they were not in the direction of, they were not in the interest of, or the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But whenever that, whenever an order is given, if one faithfully carries it out, one becomes extremely glorious. It's an example of Lord Parashuram. Now Lord Parashuram was the youngest son of Jamadagni and Renuka. And it's a long story. I want to keep class short because many devotees want to chant, and so I won't get into the details of the story, but something happened. There was Lord Indra involved, and Mother Renuka's chastity was questioned. So King Jamadagni, because he was very powerful, he could sense that something was not right. So he ordered his sons, kill your mother right now. And none of the sons could follow that instruction. They said, wow, how can we do this? This is, our mother is very chaste and very powerful lady. After all, she's mother. I cannot follow that. We cannot execute this order. The youngest son, Parashuram, Sage Jamadagni said, you should do this. And he didn't question. He raised his axe and chopped off Mother Renuka's head. I mean, this is not for us to follow. Oh, really? That's not the idea. There's a principle being spoken here. And as soon as he did that, everyone was in severe shock. How can you do this? This is your mother. I mean, this is one of the greatest offenses to blaspheme or harm one's own mother. And so Sage Jamadagni became very pleased. I said, ask for any benedictions you want. And he said, please give me the benediction that I can bring my mother back to life. So Sage Jamadagni was very pleased, and he blessed in such a way, and Mother Renuka came back to life. So it's described that Parashuram knew the potency of Sage Jamadagni. He knew that this person knows better than me, and so I shouldn't question his authority. We also knew that this person is very compassionate, and he will fulfill my request because he's going to give me a benediction for following that order. Anyway, we will never be put into a test like that. However, Arjuna was. Arjuna was put into the similar test that he was brought to face his entire family. Uncles, grandfathers, cousins, brothers, nephews, friends. And the order was, please kill them all. And Arjuna goes through this severe pain in his heart as to how is that possible? How can I do this, my dear Krishna? Your order is so difficult to follow. How can you implore me to kill my family members? Well, Krishna gave him instruction on the Bhagavad Gita, and he says, Nashta Moha Smritir Labdhva. That the illusion that I was under has been dispelled. And my memory of my relationship with you, my memory of who you are, and how your order is absolute has awakened. Karishye vachanam tava. I will just follow what you say. So our goal, one of our goals in Krishna consciousness, is to become the unquestionable follower. And this is not easy. This is not easy for many, many reasons. I'm not going to get into all the details this morning. But for many reasons, having that unquestionable loyalty and faithfulness to a superior's order, even the spiritual master's order, is not easy. What makes it not easy is that our heart has what we say anarthas. Have anarthas in this case is the conceptions that we carry that don't match with the conceptions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Naturally, our conceptions will not match because we have picked up our conceptions from this relative realm. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra operate on the absolute realm, the transcendental realm. So from the very outset, from the beginning, our conceptions will not match the conceptions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And the whole piece of sadhana bhakti is to refine our conceptions or eliminate our misconceptions so we can align ourselves with the absolute conceptions. This is our work. This is our aspiration. Krishna helps when our aspiration is pure, that I want to align with the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chittite Koriya Aikya. Aikya is single pointed. There's nothing else. It's not, I have the order of my Guru and I have my own idea and I'll try to somehow do both. You're also happy, I'm also happy. Or my view is more important than my Guru's view or Krishna's view and I'm going to somehow finagle my way through to fulfill what I think is the right thing to do. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. So until we come to that position, we know that there is work to do. Our heart has some more stuff to get rid of and become ready. Ready for carrying out the orders of the spiritual master, however difficult they might seem, however impossible they might seem, and however ridiculous they might seem to us. Because what the order of the spiritual master carries is the key to the spiritual realm. It's the pathway, it's the gateway into life of transcendence. Any other conception may not even get that far. May, at least if they are in the mode of goodness conceptions, we may get somewhere in the neighborhood of it, but not into transcendental realm. So here Lord Vishnu is actually encouraging them. What you have done is following the orders of your father is excellent. I'm very pleased with it. And this is one thing that will bring you extreme glory for the rest of your life. Lokan anubhavishyati, forever in future. So we are studying it today. This happened many, many, many thousands of years ago. Millions of years ago. And still, it's preserved in the Bhagavatam because the glory of the Prachetas is, as Vishnu said, is here for us to discuss, for us to hear, for us to meditate on, for us to appreciate, and for us to emulate and follow. This verse is not to be taken outside of or out of context with the rest of the verses that precede this. The order is not just that. Sometimes we may have this idea, I got an order or an instruction from my spiritual master and here I come. And if anyone obstructs that instruction, beware. Because I have to carry out the order of my guru and anyone else, if they interfere, they'll be pulp. The blinders need to be removed. What the guru's orders, the effectiveness of a disciple is how he or she can carry out those orders within the framework of Vaishnava interactions, within the framework of Vaishnava etiquette. That means I have to carry out an order and somehow it may not be the same with someone else. So I don't sit on a road roller and just trample someone. I have to know how to follow perfectly Vaishnava achar as I'm carrying out the order of my spiritual master. This is the maturity of devotee we should develop. And that takes practice, that takes contemplation, that takes purity of heart. And for that we have all the tools necessary. I'm using the word tool with a particular view in mind. Not that the Hare Krishna mantra is a tool that we use. Not in that sense, but we get the idea. The path, the way by which our heart can be purified is the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in the association of devotees. Very carefully following the regulative principles of bhakti. Whatever the regulative principles that Srila Prabhupada has given within the line of Rupa Goswami. This is necessary for heart becoming pure and our bhakti becoming mature so we can carry out the order of our spiritual master. In fact, the order is also that. Chant nicely. Chant purely. Please aspire for chanting Shuddhanam. Now, chanting of Shuddhanam cannot happen in vacuum. I cannot fight with the devotees here and next day or later in the day put my hand in my bead bag and say, I'm going to chant Shuddhanam. It's not possible. Everything that we do during the day has an impact on our chanting. And actually our chanting has an impact on what we do during the day. So it's not one thing or one activity, but the idea of following the order of our spiritual master means something that pervades our entire day, our entire consciousness. And following like that, or practicing to follow like that, is very pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we've been discussing that ultimately that's the perfection of our bhakti, that Krishna is pleased. Okay, I'll pause and see if someone would like to add something, questions or comments. Ashray Prabhu.
Would you agree or would you say that since you're discussing that it's not necessarily always that an instruction is to be followed, depends on who it's coming from, but the submissive nature of the personalities, the character, is what the Lord is glorifying?
Yeah, I agree.
Seems obvious, but...
Right. Yesterday, Jai Jagannath Prabhu ended class with this phrase, for a good disciple, even the suggestion of the spiritual master is taken as an instruction. And for the lukewarm, even the instruction seems like a suggestion. It's interpreted as a suggestion. So I'm just speaking from that theme and continuing, because we've been hearing as a theme, I'm taking that further. But yes. That's your hand, Mr. Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. So I was just wondering, in the case of some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, perhaps they never had personal association, or the principle of you were describing receiving that instruction, but in cases like that where they perhaps never even had contact with their spiritual master, how are they able to internalize? Because we think, when I hear classes like this, I'm thinking of specific instructions, but how is one able to, you know, advance to the perfectional stage without having received any kind of personal?
My understanding, and I could be wrong, my understanding here is the Prachetas didn't receive a specific instruction per se. I mean, the instruction that's being here is to all his sons, please take on the service of populating the universe. He didn't say, son number one, you do it like this. Son number two, you do it like that. Son number three, you this is your service. It was a general instruction in that sense to all his sons. And that's what they carried out. So those disciples or persons, you know, generations after, don't have direct instruction from Srila Prabhupada that's specific, but instructions that are there that are very specific, but they're not specific in the sense that this is for you, Still, principle applies. Prabhupada gave so many categories of instructions that different people can take and become successful in their lives. He gave instructions on book distribution, he gave instructions on Harinam, he gave instructions on deity worship, he gave instructions on preaching, all of that. And different. And they've made it the mission of their lives. And they're glorious. Some of them are there even today. They may have never met Prabhupada, never had conversations with Prabhupada, never gave them some direct instruction. Even the instruction Srila Prabhupada received, go to the West and preach in English. He only met Bhaktisiddhanta 3 times. And all 3 times were the same instruction. It's not like long conversations and much interaction and let's refine this, it's not like that. In fact, it was just given as soon as the two met for the first time. So it doesn't have to be very one-on-one, personalized instruction.
The principle is also given one should take the order of the spiritual masters, one's life and soul.
Correct.
So how would those disciples know which instruction? Or is it more take all of the instructions?
Yeah, but those instructions, like I said, those instructions are not carried out in vacuum, that there is no interaction with other Vaishnavas. It's not like I heard something in Prabhupada's class and here I come. There are other Vaishnavas, other senior devotees that are all helping to fulfill Prabhupada's instructions. So there is discussion. We cannot take one principle and look at it in vacuum. All other principles also apply. Guidance of other devotees, interactions with them, who know us well and can help us. So those principles also apply. For example, this is just for the sake of massaging the idea. Prabhupada said to George Harrison, no, continue music. You don't have to shave up. You don't have to join the temple. Anybody can say, wow, that's an instruction. I can just continue my music and I'll just follow that. But that may not be the one that's relevant to me. In his case, specifically, you may be an underground devotee, however the term is. You may be like this. May not be for another person. Okay, yes, Ashwari Prabhu.
From that discussion, the burning kind of question popped up that as the disciple succession moves forward, and that specifically ISKCON, there is such a thing as, you know, doing things according to time, place, and circumstance, to just make it general. So, like you were saying, Srila Prabhupada has given specific instructions about deity worship, etc. And there may be cases or a tendency, or I don't know if it's possible that people can say, well, we're taking the principle of what Srila Prabhupada said, but we're applying it and making things look for 2012 or whatever. So how do we know that that doesn't, I mean, if it's significant, which I think it is, how do we know that that's not disconnecting us from that potency that Srila Prabhupada's put into the instructions?
Correct. Fast forward from 2012 and make it 2032 or 2052. Then what happens? So yes, it's a valid question. It is something to be aware of. But there is always the absolute instructions of Prabhupada. Gave principles, but also gave very specific if this, then that, if this, then that. And this is the same question that's not just valid for Prabhupada's teachings to us within ISKCON, but from the beginning. How have all the teachings been preserved from the time Krishna spoke to Lord Brahma? Or when Lord Brahma spoke to Narada Muni? It has come. We can't say, oh, that was Vyasadeva, so it's all right, but now it's not Vyasadeva. But the principle is still that the preservation of true Krishna consciousness is within the capacity of, or the responsibility of, the one receiving. So a qualified receiver will be a qualified transmitter. When that is continuing, we can be fairly sure that the teachings are preserved, the principles are preserved, even the details can be preserved. And that's each one of our responsibility then. And if we are not, then we are the weak link in the parampara. We may not be the transmitters of absolute truth. Someone else might be who has that responsibility clear. We spent hour and 40 minutes yesterday at IIT just talking on this principle. It was called the descending system of knowledge. And three Chinese people showed up because they wanted to know what is descending system of knowledge. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Okay. I wish you all a very, very nice Radhashtami festival.